CSS is the best, but what would make it even better is Overflow, the word directing where to go. Like InDesign and typesetting, CSS layout was a mess, but it's been getting a lot better. So what's next in the spec is what we're talking about today.
Yes.
Welcome to Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks every other Tuesday at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about
CSS
fragmentation, regions, new things in CSS.
Yes.
Okay, we were kind of talking about what the show would be about right before we started recording.
Yeah.
And there's kind of a few things we want to like touch on, things that we're not experts in because they're still in the works.
Yes.
These are things that like the W3C is actively figuring out.
Yeah.
But we've kind of been hearing about, trying to stay on top of, and think are really cool, and think that you might think that they're cool too.
Yep.
But before we get started and dive into those things, we have two sponsors today. They are Datadog and Sentry. So let's start with a big shout out and thank you to Datadog. Datadog is a software as a service based monitoring platform that provides dev and ops teams with a unified view of all of their systems, apps, and services. You'll be a part of thousands of organizations who already rely on Datadog to collect, visualize, and alert them of abnormalities. There are over 200 turnkey integrations, including AWS, Postgres, Kubernetes, and Slack, all done out of the box with custom metrics to gain full stack observability with a unified view of all of your systems, apps, and services. Other key features include real-time visibility from customizable dashboards, algorithmic alerts like anomaly detection, outlier detection, forecasting alerts, end-to-end tracing to visualize app performance and real-time collaboration. Datadog is offering listeners a free trial, and as an added bonus for signing up and creating a dashboard, they'll send you a free t-shirt. And fun fact, I have one of those t-shirts, so we can be twinsies. So start a free trial today at datadog.com/toolsday. That's datadog.com/toolsday for your free t-shirt and free dashboard. That's datadog.com/toolsday.
Awesome.
Oh, it's a cute shirt. I love dogs. I'm going to get a dog this summer. Just want you all to know what's happening. I have been waiting to get a dog for 5 years. I'm not joking, but I travel too much and I was always thinking like, I can't do that until I live with someone who can also sort of take care of it. So the time is now.
Time is now.
The present.
No time. Yes. Like Yeah, I'm a little jealous. I have two cats, and they are adorable.
They're really cute.
Really cute.
They're always all up in the video screen.
Yeah, whenever we record these shows, my cats are both like, oh, wait, I must be in this camera. It's very important.
They're really cute. So, Chris, what have you seen kind of floating around the Twitters lately?
Oh, my goodness.
CSS sphere.
So, one, it's always rare for me. So, my Twitter feed is mostly JavaScript, sorry. But every now and then, a bit of CSS peeks through, and I think 2 weeks ago, the W3C CSS working group or CSS working group approved a range of new functions for CSS. I was like, wow!
We got together, chatted a bunch,
yeah,
and we have some new things now coming out of the writings.
And here's a fun thing: as a quick aside before we dive too deep, you know, I always thought about, you know, CSS, the CSS 2, CSS 3, and then there'll be a future CSS 4. And then I was just recently informed that there's no such thing as CSS 4. There's just new features to CSS. And so all these things are not part of a new, like there's ES 2016, ES 2017. There's nothing like that for CSS. There's just...
But there sort of is.
Oh, is there? Okay.
It's just broken up into different specs. So there's There's like CSS fragmentation level 1. There's like CSS media queries level 4.
Right, yeah.
So it's broken up but by sort of topic, umbrella topic.
Right, not by year or by like time release date. It's like this is this spec, this type of functionality, and here's the next iteration of this functionality.
Yeah. So exactly. So like CSS working group is like working on the next iteration of like CSS color spec, and then they'll sort of come out with their candidate recommendations, you know, eventually, and then it becomes like the next level of CSS, and then they start over on the next version number.
Yeah. So yeah, so I kind of read about it briefly, like, oh, there's a bunch of new functions. Anything else cool coming out for CSS?
There's a ton of stuff. So yeah, I saw a tweet about all the functions, like you mentioned, that were coming out, which I thought was really funny and interesting because it's like so inspired by SAS.
Yeah.
It's very much like this like idea of like paving the cow paths, yeah. Right? So like people found this really useful technology and that was like using functions in CSS and now we're kind of getting that. I also saw one with nesting.
Yes.
Didn't dive too deep on this. Did you hear anything about that?
I think it's just a proposal. I saw it as a response to somebody else, but I don't think they've settled on it yet. There is a repo for all this stuff, by the way. So if you're interested in looking into what the CSS working group is talking about, we'll link in the show notes. And they have all these issues for each kind of topic where people are
on GitHub now.
Yeah, it's on GitHub. And it's surprisingly approachable. So a lot of the different working groups have their issues or their proposals and the chat about it on GitHub. So if you're ever interested, like, oh, well, you know, why didn't we get apply in CSS? There's an issue on GitHub that talks about apply and stuff like that. So
I think it'd be really cool if we got color functions, yes. Kind of like we had with SAS,
yes.
Because they were super, super useful. Making color palettes. And now with CSS custom properties that are truly dynamic, you could have really dynamic color palettes if that was an option. Like right now, if you want to create palettes, you still have to write your functions in JavaScript and convert them mm-hmm. when you're doing your styling. But oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Like lighten and darken and mix and all those sorts of things. Like you can just on the fly create styles for like different parts of your site. If you had a media site and you had different categories, you know, or even like, you know, if you work at Netflix and you have different types of movie genres, yeah, like so many theming options. It's just, I'm excited about that. Personally, I hope that that comes. I actually haven't seen anything about that, but there are different mathematical functions that are going to be hopefully available.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what I kind of wanted to talk about in this episode is this idea of CSS fragmentation in regions. I was just at an event apart in Seattle earlier this week, and Rachel Andrew gave a great talk about sort of redefining what's possible in CSS and some of these like upcoming specs, and I got to talk to her a little bit about this, and it was just a really interesting conversation and sort of like direction for CSS that I'm very excited about.
So real quick, so when I first heard you say CSS fragmentation, I actually thought you were saying the different browser fragmentation of implementation of CSS, which is not accurate. It's it's a spec. No. So could you tell us like what is CSS fragmentation, I guess? What is the spec?
So basically fragmentation kind of defines how you split content. So an example of that is when you're writing CSS for print, you know, you can print out web pages. You can even write books in CSS. I think like Leah Veru wrote her book in CSS. Wow. And I wouldn't be surprised if Rachel Andrew wrote hers in CSS too. But you can define these print style sheets, which are really cool. And so it kind of defines like what breaks onto the next page. Mm. And there's also multi-col. So like multi-column design in CSS is currently possible. It's been around for a little while now.
Really?
Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's like predates grid. Okay. I think it was like even before Flexbox, if I recall. Also available in Chrome. A lot of this stuff came out through IE and Edge first because they were really the forefront of playing with CSS layout and grid and those sorts of things. So like shout out to IE and Edge.
Rest in peace. I mean, not rest in peace. It's new evolution.
Well, kind of. I mean, for layout, it's kind of like a step backward though. So interestingly, multi-column like provides a lot of different options with like you basically just set how many columns something flows into and then column gap, which is like, you know, how you can kind of do grid gap now.
Yeah. Well, actually, they renamed grid gap to column gap and row gap.
What?
Yeah. So it's no longer grid column gap. It's just column gap.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, this is like multi-column.
Yeah. I think they use the same namespace because now it's supposed to be correct for CSS columns, CSS grid. And then in the next, I think they defined Flexbox now will support column gap and row gap.
I heard that too. So, okay, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Thanks, Chris.
It's in Firefox today. So you can use Flex and column gap in Firefox today, but not in Chrome, which is a big bummer. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
Cool. That's like a really fun fact. Okay, so talking about like multi-col, it's basically if you're like kind of imagining a newspaper and you have something from left to right in three columns and it kind of spreads through. So another thing to think about inside of columns is when you have boxes inside of those columns. So maybe you have like a pull quote. There's a good article that I'm going to share in the links here. It's a great article called Breaking Boxes with CSS Fragmentation that kind of like talks all about this in SpyRachel. And so in it, it defines different ways that you could break these boxes. So is it like before, break inside? There's also different ways to kind of frame around it. So like the box decoration. Mm-hmm. So say that you have a pull quote and the pull quote has an outline around it. Mm-hmm. So when that box breaks between columns, if you want that to break between two columns, what does that look like? Do you have the outline just do the top on the left side and the bottom on the right side if it's left to right layout? Mm-hmm. Like you're missing that sort of connecting line. Or do you have it go all the way around on each side where it kind of looks like it's disconnected a little bit, but it might look nicer that way?
Yeah.
So there's a property called box decoration break. And so slice sort of slices it and then clone recreates the style in both fragments. Mm. So all of that
slice,
is...
slices it in half, basically. So it says, this is the one box, slice it in half, and just dupe it over there with a different content, but the same styles.
Yes, okay. Exactly. All right. So that's sort of been around, and like these sort of breaking... Also, I'm not an expert on this. I do want to say that right now. I've used multi-col before. Definitely not an expert. Just something that I'm currently interested in because I... heard about sort of this and then the future of this, which is sort of regions at a conference recently, and I'm like, this is interesting, I want this now. so that's like my experience with it. But there's a lot of interesting ways to like break things inside of these multi-column layouts.
Yeah.
And then how to define those for print. So we have a lot of capabilities for print on the web. Like you can write inches and centimeters as units. When you're writing CSS, like that has always existed. But there's also the capability to specify widows and orphans. Mm. And like that is a part of your multi-col break. So that is, you know, pretty well supported. It's supported in IE Edge,
real quick,
Chrome Safari.
What is a widow and orphan?
So a widow and an orphan defines if you have like a word that's on its own on a line, if you don't want that to be on a line by its own and you want to break it by
the sentence
widow
or
orphan. I don't remember widow and orphan. One of them is a character. One of them is a word. Widow typography. I did go to design school. I swear. It was just a while ago.
One of the things, you know, I remember. So at IBM, after you left, we kept on doing what we had called Fed Dates. And I had Anna Gonzalez, the current lead designer of Carbon, come in and give a big talk about typography, which I found so useful. I just can't remember it all now. So if you're a developer out there, have your designers come in and talk to you about fonts, because it is actually like something important to you now.
Yeah. So when you typeset, you kind of like look out for these things. You don't want a word just to kind of live on its own.
Yeah.
So a widow is a paragraph ending line that follows the beginning of the following page or column. So it's separated from the rest of the text.
Okay.
So that's a widow. So like, it's just like, if you have two columns and one is full and then you have just one line on the next column.
Got it.
You don't want that.
Yes.
And then an orphan is a single line that appears at the bottom. Okay, this is the Wikipedia definition, but I understand it as like a single word. Like if it's like one or two words that looks really awkward just at the end by itself, so you want to pull it up or have more text with it. So you pull more words down.
So they're essentially the same thing, but widow, it just happens in context, and orphan is just the just the same thing as a widow.
They're very similar, and I'm probably describing it awfully. So if you want to correct me, please do so. But the idea is that you can sort of prevent this in CSS.
Okay. Cool.
By like telling your page how you want it to break things. So I think that's cool.
Yeah.
It's something that you can set inside of InDesign. So like InDesign is an example of a typesetting program by Adobe that, you know, design students learn how to create layouts in. Like if you're writing a book, you're probably using InDesign, like typesetting a book. So you can specify how you want your paragraph to break by using these options.
Yeah.
And one other really cool thing from InDesign that the web is missing is something called regions. And regions are really cool, and I think they're even cooler now that we have CSS Grid, and we can use them like in a very clear and efficient way.
Okay, so my only memory of regions is an article from a list apart like 5 years ago, where they were like, regions considered harmful. It's not good for lots of things.
Hold that thought. Okay. I do want to talk about that.
Okay.
Before we talk about that, I do want to shout out to our second sponsor, Sentry.io. Their motto is your code is broken. Let's fix it together, which is nice because I always feel like I'm trying to fix my broken code alone. Relying on customers to report errors, essentially treating them as an offsite QA team, is not good. It's rude to customers and bad for business. Ideally, this would be solved easily with tests. You know, why not just cover every scenario with a test? Then life would be perfect and fine and great. But here in reality, humans are pretty bad at writing tests. Not just because we're all kind of lazy, but also because we can't anticipate every single way that users are going to interact with our product. They might do something really, really bizarre or something really, really smart that we didn't even think about. That's why Sentry tells us about our errors before our customers even have a chance to encounter them. Not only do they tell you about them, but they also give you all the details you'll need to be able to fix them. You'll see exactly how many users have been impacted by a bug, the stack trace, the commit that the error was released as a part of, the engineer who wrote that line of code, and a lot more. So check out Sentry.io, that's Sentry.io, and get your code fixed today.
Nice.
So you were mentioning that there was an article that came out from List Apart that said CSS regions are considered harmful.
Yes.
Okay, tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, so I kind of skimmed it as we talked about this, as we brought this show up, and it was back in 2014. So regions was first proposed by Adobe, and they were contracted by, I think, Microsoft at the time, potentially. I forgot. One of the different vendors had contracted them out to kind of come up with this idea about how do we lay out content from, you know, one column to the next, and they came up with regions, and it was...
And regions are not just columns, too. Like, right. This could be any spot on the website.
Right.
You can just say, overflow the text from here to here when the text fills up this area.
Yep. And so they were eventually deprecated from the spec, I thought. So I'm not caught up yet. And the article had like a couple of different points. The first was that they introduced a bunch of dummy divs that have no semantic value. And so you may have a region to the top left and then a region flows to the bottom right, and there's nothing in the markup that indicates that this is a connected region. And then they had number two, which was regions are not great for responsive design.
You just have to be really wary of that because
right.
You could have things sort of line up out of order.
Right. Yep. Number three, confusing text flow. Kind of the same as the first one, honestly. It was saying, hey, we moved content from one div to another div, and there's no guarantee that they are, next to each other. Hiccup. And then... I guess the final one was that it's just super verbose. I think the syntax was verbose. But again, this was 2014. So,
which hilariously is not even that long ago.
I guess it's 5 years ago. And the guy actually ended the article saying, hey, just use multi-column instead. For most uses cases, multi-column is good enough.
Yeah. So I think that now a lot has changed in 5 years in CSS.
Yes.
And having regions really allows for a lot more dynamic content because, I mean, if you work on any kind of publication where you have different amounts of, you know, information flowing, text content, you could lay it out in a very unique way. I think that's really cool. And specifically now that we have CSS Grid, that sort of issue with like, oh, well, you have all these random divs that kind of live on your page doesn't necessarily have to happen anymore because you can lay things out in a grid and set your grid to be your region layout and set like, you know, images in between text and have it sort of flow where you want it to. Like you can just kind of set space and you get all those benefits of like that interesting design aesthetic, but also like you have a predefined layout on a grid.
Yeah.
And so it kind of makes sense to let your text content flow through a grid.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at with the regions now. There's still a lot of issues, and it's not something that is currently possible in any browser. Definitely experimental, but something that the CSS working group was talking about a lot during their meeting, their summit. I think it's a summit. That's probably what it was. I don't know. It's fancy.
Summit. It's fancy. Summit. I mean, if someone told me I went to a summit, I'm like, wow, how official.
So there's a couple of issues. The first one is that right now, as far as I understand, existing browser rendering engines do not work with regions. They just like don't know what to do with that overflow area. Yeah. I don't exactly know why or what's going on, but apparently that might be fixed or will be fixed in a new rendering engine version with Chrome.
Interesting.
So I think that that's kind of helping push this along, but there needs to be a lot of fixes in that. And then also, it's still undefined what happens with excess text, like what happens if you overflow your region layout. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the CSS working group is still defining the region spec. It's super, super experimental, but it is something that I am excited about. Yeah. I think that a lot of those issues that you brought up with the article from 2014 are very valid. But I think that we've solved a lot of those with just the evolution of CSS.
Yeah. I think your point about CSS Grid making allowing this or CSS Grid defining a spec for things to flow in makes a lot of sense. I mean, I use CSS Grid in basically every one of my projects now. And yeah, it totally makes sense. Like, hey, if I define, hey, I have four columns and just flow through these four columns I've defined, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. The one thing that I am worried about with regions is I'm worried that designers will start laying out the web like a magazine. Which isn't necessarily a problem in its own right. You know, like with CSS Grid, that also solves a problem of what happens with when you resize the page, you know, that it will stack properly in that context if it's like within its own grid. But I don't want to read a page top to bottom, then move over a column, then top to bottom, then move over a column necessarily. Like, it has to be the right size to do that nicely and legibly. Yeah. I think that it could work, but I don't want the web to become a newspaper. I think it's harder to read that way.
Yeah, that is sometimes when I see the like, experimental art house things from CSS Grid. I'm like, but I don't want it. Well, it's one of those things where I kind of work in a product-centric world always. It's never editorial. And so the needs and requirements of a product CSS is a little bit different, I think. We're like, hey, we want like having CSS column gap for Flexbox to me is like my highest priority for the CSS vendors. I wouldn't be for an editorial who doesn't need that kind of like a where regions might be more relevant to their actual experience, right? So yeah.
And I work in editorial, so I can like come from that perspective where I think it's really great for creativity on the web and for having these unique layouts, but I think that it could be overdone, just like with anything else in CSS. Great power comes great responsibility.
Yep.
And I think that we'll start to think about human legibility and user experience again, like people figured out when it was print era, you know, like people figured out when responsive design was new. I think that we're still sort of figuring out how to balance these creative UIs that are captivating with things that are really legible and accessible and sort of product oriented, but in a unique way.
All right.
I just wanted
all right.
to
sounds good
kind of brain dump about things I think are cool right now in CSS.
CSS is cool.
We might have some more shows about some of the other things that we mentioned at the beginning, like what were they, functions in CSS,
the trig functions,
if nesting gets anywhere.
Yeah,
we can do trigonometry maybe in CSS.
Oh god.
Help. I'll do my math homework in CSS.
Okay, all right.
Okay,
let's just move on.
All right. Anyway, this is really fun to talk about. If you're interested in this, you know, tweet at us. Maybe I said something completely off base. Let us know what other shows that you might be interested in. And yeah, thank you so much for listening to our show this week. I do want to say thank you to our sponsors, Sentry and Datadog. Remember that Sentry.io has all of your test needs covered, and covered, just knees covered. And you can also get a free t-shirt and dashboard when you sign up for a free trial at datadog.com/toolsday. I want to shout out to our patron on Patreon, Webflow. Thank you so much for supporting us and keep doing awesome things. I also want to shout out to Rachel Andrew, who wrote a lot of this content. She's done a lot of cool work, great work for Grid and a lot of different CSS properties over the years. Like, super, super respect her and all the work that she's done. If you learned something or just enjoyed our banter on the show, please share this podcast with a friend or a coworker or leave a review, because that's how more people discover the show. And that's all that we have today. So we'll see you next time.